Hi, this is Daniel Garber, the Movies, for CulturalMining.com and CIUT 89.5 FM. Movie theaters are reopening on Monday. That's 2 days away at 50% capacity. That means those movies they've been banking for all the past few months are all coming out in the next little while. Brace yourselves. So this week, I'm looking at three new movies about women. An action thriller, a historical romance, and a social satire. There's a teacher who wants to save her job, a princess who wants to save a mermaid, and a group of spies who want to save, well, the planet. The 355, co-written and directed by Simon Kinberg. In a Colombian jungle, a drug lord is about to hand off a major sale to international criminals when something goes wrong. In the scuffle, a computer drive disappears. It's a hard drive, not the drugs that are really valuable, because it holds the ultimate hack, a device that can penetrate and control any computer, any system, anywhere in the world. So Mace, played by Jessica Chastain, a CIA agent, flies to Paris with her partner in and out of bed to purchase the program. She enlists a former colleague named Khadija, played by Lupita Nyong'o, a British MI6 agent, to help her out. Khadija doesn't want to spy anymore. She's an academic now. She's with a lover, but she grudgingly agrees. Meanwhile, a Colombian desk agent named Graciela, played by Penelope Cruz, with no fieldwork experience, is flown in to make sure the handoff goes as planned. But it doesn't, partly because of a clash with an unknown woman named Marie, played by Diana Kruger. Turns out, Marie isn't an arch criminal. She's an allied spy who works for the German government. And Mace's erstwhile lover and partner is murdered during all these incidents. So now we have four agents, none of whom trust one another, but are forced to work together when they're all declared rogue agents by their respective countries. Meanwhile, jet planes are crashing to the ground, systems are imploding. This is just a taste of what the master criminals can do with this valuable hard drive. This is cyber warfare, and the bad guys hold all the cards. So it's up to the four of them to find the device, save the world, restore their tarnished reputations, and get taken off the world's most wanted list. The 355 is a typical run-of-the-mill action movie. Lots of fights, chases, narrow escapes, and shootouts set against exotic locations in Europe, Morocco, and Shanghai. I was worried at first that Jessica Chastain would pull another disgusting Zero Dark 30 move, glorifying CIA torture in the so-called War on Terror. But no, that's not what this movie is about at all. This is a classic James Bond-style movie, the spies against the criminals, but with four agents this time, not one. What's good about it is the incredible cast. These aren't female Sylvester Stallones or Vin Diesels here. They're top-tier actors. Lupita Nyong'o was in 12 Years a Slave and Us. Diane Kruger is a major European actor. North America, she's best known for Inglourious Basterds. Oscar winner Penelope Cruz, what can I say? And everyone knows who Jessica Chastain is. Plus, one of the top Chinese stars, Fan Bingbing, appears in the movie too. I'm not going to say who she is because that's a giveaway. That's a spoiler. Take it for what this is. Great female actors playing kick-ass roles in an enjoyable, though totally forgettable, action flick. The King's Daughter, directed by Sean McNamara. It's the 17th century in Versailles. Louis XIV, the Sun King, played by Pierce Brosnan, lives a life of luxury, confessing his excesses to his priest and confidant, Père Lachaise, played by William Hurt. But he realizes his life could be in danger. He is a mortal man when he is wounded by a bullet. And France itself is falling deeply into debt after a long and expensive war. So, after the advice of an evil doctor, played by Pablo Schreiber, he orders the dashing Captain Eve, played by Benjamin Walker, to search for the lost continent of Atlantis and to capture a mermaid there. And, according to the doctor, if he kills the mermaid during a total eclipse of the sun, he will become the king of France forever. In other words, immortal. Meanwhile, a young woman named Marie Joseph, played by Kaya Scodelario, has lived since birth in a remote convent, cloistered away by nuns. She still manages to learn music and periodically sneak outside to hone her horseback riding and ocean swimming skills. But she's suddenly called back to Versailles, where she was born. Why? Of course, she is the king's daughter. But she doesn't know it. Only the king and a few close confidants know this. Back at the palace, she soon makes friends with the mermaid, played by Fan Bingbing, again, communicating telepathically and using music to bring the two of them together. She also falls for the handsome sailor Captain Eve, who captured the mermaid to begin with. But the king has other ideas. He wants to marry her off to a rich duke. So, can Marie-Joseph marry the man she loves? Will the king ever listen to his daughter? And will he kill the innocent mermaid for his own eternal glory? The King's Daughter is a second or third-rate Disney princess type movie set in a gilded royal palace. It borrows liberally from movies like Guillermo del Toro's The Shape of Water and virtually any princess-centric fairy tale you can name that's been made into a cartoon. This one's narrated by Julie Andrews. This movie has lots of CGI, generally mediocre, though I did like some of the underwater scenes, and too much gilded ornate settings. It's gross. This is Louis XIV, the area, the pinnacle of French culture, but you wouldn't know it from the look of the movie. The make and the costumes don't even attempt to look like Versailles. We're talking the era of the Three Musketeers, but you wouldn't know it here. It's so sterilized and dumbed down. This movie ends up as a gold leaf bowl of pablum, which isn't surprising from a director of such masterpieces as Three Ninjas, High Noon at Mega Mountain, and Cats and Dogs 3, Paws Unite. You get the picture. I liked Kaya Scodelario. She's very good, but the script and the direction are totally uninspired. So if you're a little girl or boy into supernatural princess romances, you just might love this movie. But otherwise, the rest of you, the movie's not terrible. It's bearable. If I saw it in a theater, I wouldn't walk out, but it's just not very good. Bad Luck Banging or Loony Porn, directed by Radu Jude. Emmy, played by Katia Pascariu, is a teacher at a prestigious school in Bucharest, Romania. She's well-respected in her profession and always dresses in a conservative gray skirt and jacket. But when her husband takes their laptop into the shop for repairs, some of their private footage is leaked online. And that's when everything falls apart. They made a sex video for private use only, but now it's everywhere. And on tabloid news sites, Facebook, even on her students' smartphones. And even after it's been taken down on Pornhub, copies still circulate. So the parents are angry. She asks the schoolmistress, played by Claudia Iermia, to take her side, but to no avail. She's forced to attend a humiliating parent-teacher meeting held out of doors because of the pandemic to defend her reputation and explain that a sex tape made by consenting adults in the privacy of their own home is not a crime. But the mob at the meeting disagrees. They make her show the tape again on an iPad right in front of the entire meeting, complete with lewd commentary from some of them and pillorying from the rest. So will Emmy lose her job, or can she emerge from this ordeal unscathed? Bad luck banging, or loony porn, is a scathing indictment of contemporary Romania in the form of an absurdist comical farce. The movie is divided into three sections. The first part follows Emmy on a walk across Bucharest on the sidewalks as she tries to fathom what happened and interpreting the looks of people around her. On the way, she observes random street conversations ranging from obscene to mundane. The camera, though, lingers on the signs, the billboards, the statues, the shop windows, basically everything everywhere, emphasizing the omnipresence of sex there, not just her tape. Second part is a long montage of a series of images ranging from century-old porn to wartime photos, fascist memorabilia, patriotic songs, kitschy poetry, nationalistic quotes, Holocaust deniers, persecution of the Roma, and on and on and on and on. A montage. Each image is accompanied by unspoken comments conveyed in the form of subtitles. The third part of the movie is the outdoor tribunal itself, as Emmy is put on the stand before angry parents who want her fired or maybe burned at the stake. The whole film is set within the current pandemic, with everyone in the movie wearing masks, whether indoor or out, including the absolutely explicit sex tape, which they show in the movie, where Emmy's face is often covered, but never her or her husband's rampant genitalia. If you have problems watching explicit sex, you don't want to watch this movie. That said, the movie's hard to watch when people's faces are covered. That's a drawback, no matter how you look at it. On the other hand, it's funny, it's shocking, it's eye-opening, and is presented as a darkly satirical comedy. Personally, I would have liked to have seen more faces. I want to see lips move when I watch a movie. I see masks in real life. I really don't want to see them for a couple hours on the screen. But at least the middle montage section helps break up the COVID protocols into more digestible parts. The 355 and The King's Daughter both open in theaters in Toronto on Monday. Check your local listings. And Bad Luck Banging or Loony Porn is now playing at the Digital Bell Lightbox in Toronto. This is Daniel Garber, the movies, each Saturday morning on CIUT 89.5 FM and on my website, culturalmining.com.